Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, 96.9 FM. As always, I'm joined by the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. We also got Champ Creed in the house tonight. What's going on, Champ?
Hey, what's going on? You know what? I had a new nickname, but I can't remember what it was. So
Mr. We'll Everything 5000.
Yeah, it was that one, and then I had another one incorporating Shawn Michaels' name, but I can't remember it. But anyway, we'll go.
Should just keep going.
Hey, let's get started. We're a little less than 10 days away from WrestleMania. WrestleMania is coming up on April 7th from New York City, New Jersey, MetLife Stadium. And Kofi Kingston finally in, ladies and gentlemen. Kofi Kingston finally did it. Big E and Xavier Woods finally did it, but Kofi Kingston's in the match with Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Champ, I'm gonna start with you, man. How does it make you feel that Kofi Kingston is finally in the WWE picture as be able to be WWE champion?
Well, it's been a long time coming, but I know. Let me stop. Well, look. I'm not going to count the gold before it's strapped around the waist. I think the way they stretched out the storyline, very timely. The way they inserted Big E's speech on social media as opposed to using it on air, I think that was very smart. And I like the way that the things that they can't say on television or the things that they won't say on television, they're doing it on their social media. And I think they got that cue on how to execute it from Becky Lynch. Everything makes sense from a storyline standpoint, leading up to where you are. The drama was there. In the end, we'll see. I have what I think will happen, what I want to happen, and what I feel will happen. But the way I feel right now, I'm happy about the outcome on SmackDown.
How about you, Wizard, on SmackDown? Were you one of those people that was jumping around the rooms, yelling and screaming and excited?
I don't do that. However, we're gonna start that now. I don't do that. However, I was excited for it. I was like, okay, this is good.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think it was a good moment. I think a lot of people enjoyed it. I like how they built the drama up to it, and I think this storyline people was always really invested in. Really invested into Kofi Kingston, really invested into New Day, and where New Day and Kofi Kingston, where they all played a vital role in getting Kofi Kingston the WWE championship shot at Daniel Bryan. I also think Daniel Bryan played a big role in this because I mentioned in our group chat, I don't think any other heel, with any other heel, Kofi doesn't get this shot. I think Daniel Bryan plays this role to a T for Kofi Kingston. That they are good dance partners and good storyline partners. Your thoughts on that?
Right. Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I think this has a lot to do with, Daniel Bryan himself is a fresh face. And since he's been gone long enough that all of these feuds are new, essentially. So you had, and because of Bryan's stature, I mean, Bryan's kind of, the perfect guy you can throw in with anybody because it's believable that he can beat anybody. He's done it before. But you can put him in there with somebody bigger than him and it's still believable. And then this opens the door for people who are smaller or closer to his size. It opens the door to put them in these kind of storylines. So Brian's kind of the perfect person for this, realistically.
Yeah, we saw him being in the ring with a bigger person with Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series, and we saw how that went, put on a heck of a match. You know, Champ, you brought up a question earlier this week. Would this still have been Mustafa Ali, and would the reaction still have been the same if Mustafa Ali had never got hurt?
Yeah, I mean, my answer, I asked you guys, I think this was kind of like one of those things that they fell into. It's a happy mistake. or a happy accident, if you want to call it that, that Mustafa got hurt, because I really don't feel the sentimental value that Kofi has developed over time would have been established by Mustafa, because he's still fresh and relatively new, and he doesn't have the history of being, you know, the odd man out, what have you. I saw a photo, I think it was WrestleMania in, was it 2013, where Kofi was a part of the announce team. Am I correct, Wiz?
I do not remember that. You said 2013 was part of the announce
team? It was the last time they were, the last time they were in New York. Someone put up a photo on IG, and it said, what a difference 6 or 7 years make. And it was Kofi in the announce booth with, I think it was, maybe it wasn't JR, it was Michael Cole. I can't remember who it was, but I know Kofi was like a special guest announcer or something, and now he's in the actual main event.
At WrestleMania?
Yeah, it says at WrestleMania. He wasn't on the main card.
In 2013?
Maybe it was 2013.
Oh, you know what that was? That was like the pre-show.
The pre-show, okay.
Yeah, that was like the pre-show that they do, you know, kind of the, hey, you know, like, maybe they were talking to him on a panel or something like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that was the actually, I remember that. I remember that now. He was on the pre-show. He may have been filling in with somebody. But he was on the pre-show with, like, JR and, like,
yes,
somebody.
Yes.
I remember that. I do remember that, actually. But, you know, that was pretty much what they do at WrestleMania every year. You know, that's what that was, is that they pretty much... Yes. You know, insert different, you get different people's opinions, you know, just to, you got a 2-hour pre-show, basically. You got to fill it. But that's what that mm-hmm. was. But no,
yeah,
but they're absolutely right, though. They're absolutely right, though, Champ Creed, is that they, it's a huge difference from the last time they were in New York to then also something else that probably ain't been pointed out. And I'm going to point it out here on the show first for anybody else trying to, because I ain't seen it. What a difference in the last time they were in New York. 6 years ago, that the only match featuring any divas got cut, and now they're main eventing WrestleMania.
Yes.
I ain't seen that anywhere else. So if y'all want to put that out there, somebody can. But yeah, the last time the only match that featured any women was cut from the show, and now they're main eventing.
Yeah, the main event now.
And that's from New York. Yeah, that was the show in New York. So,
and not only on the main event, they'll have a lot more women on the card. You know, you have the tag team Fatal 4-Way match now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's on there. You have the Triple Threat match that's on there. And so you have a lot of high-profile women that's on the show. So you're definitely correct.
Let me ask you this. Have they announced there's going to be a women's battle royal this year or no? Have they announced that?
I have not heard as of yet.
I
have not heard that as of yet. As of the time we tape this, that has not been announced. I reckon they would have to do something
mm-hmm.
of that type, because the men are having theirs, or you're just going to nix it all together. So, and wait for that backlash.
Yeah.
You know. But back to the question, Mustafa Ali, was it your thoughts? Mustafa Ali, do we get the same thing from Mustafa Ali? And I got to apologize to both you guys. A couple of shows ago, before when this was copping off, I said WWE wouldn't change their storyline. They had a WrestleMania set. I want to apologize. They changed the storyline. Oh, boy, did they change the storyline for Daniel Bryan. And it works, and it works out well now.
Are you talking about changing the storyline as far as featuring Kofi in it?
Yeah, featuring Kofi in it.
Oh, yeah. No, see, here's the thing. Not that you're wrong, per se. On the surface, it looks like it changes things. In actuality, I honestly think once Kofi had the gauntlet match, the first one, to get into the Elimination Chamber, the one for the placement of where where you would enter. Once he had that, I think the wheels were in motion for him to be in WrestleMania. I don't think anything changed from that, because once he started building that momentum, I do think Kevin Owens was probably going to be the original WrestleMania opponent. That's the only thing I think that may have changed. But I think they changed that well in advance to where they had time to do the storyline. Even though the storyline, and maybe parts of it are kind of on the fly, but I don't think it's on the fly to where they're almost doing this week by week. I think they've had enough time where they've strategically put this together to where it led to this past Tuesday with Kofi finally getting in. That took some planning. So I'll give them credit for that. Maybe it's been the last month or so, month and a half, I'd say, or the time, pretty much, probably from the time that Ali was deemed not being able to compete. That's the only downfall with Ali is that him getting injured not necessarily is the thing that kind of killed him. It's more so he got injured at the worst possible time going into WrestleMania season. Because once they pretty much fill that spot, you're not getting back in there. Had this been some other off month, it was like, okay, we could have put Kofi in there for a little bit, and we could have inserted Ali back in. Nah, there's too much investment right now. At this point, they're not bringing you in for that. They're not bringing you back in.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. They're definitely not going to do that. Kofi, the fans put Kofi in. Now, I asked this question 2 weeks ago. Can we relate this to the Daniel Bryan run in 2014? Is it up there now? Is it in the conversation?
We got to see how it turns out.
You repeat that question.
Okay, Daniel Bryan's babyface run 2014.
Right.
When Daniel Bryan had his babyface run.
Uh-huh.
I asked a question 2 weeks ago. Can we compare Kofi Kingston's run to Daniel Bryan? After this,
compare it, but it's not going to be. It's not going to be bigger. It's not.
No,
it's not.
No, that
it's not.
That was a rare moment in time, bro. Like,
yeah, I agree.
That was. I mean, from the story to even that whole event. Now you think about it, the beginning. Yeah, when was it Rock, Stone Cold, or Hogan opened the show?
Yep.
That was one of the best beginning to end.
Yeah, that was the first Mania in a while that was really good from beginning to end. That you were kind of like, okay, and the placement of things were perfect because, like, you know, and no offense to the women, but after Taker lost, like, that sucked that they had to go out, you know, because it was like, what do you do? You know what I mean? Like, the streak.
Plus, it was the first
year. What'd you say?
Plus, it was the first year of the network.
Yeah, it was. And with the Daniel Bryan, we almost digressed. But with that Daniel Bryan, like I said, the Kofi one can definitely compare. But the Daniel Bryan story, because probably the main thing that helps the Daniel Bryan story trump over Kofi's current story is that Daniel's essentially was built from August previously, you know, with SummerSlam. That storyline was built from August all the way to April. So Kofi's was essentially, you know, February to April. So that time, that investment in that slow build, and it wasn't necessarily a slow build, but that slow build to where Daniel Bryan was in August to Daniel Bryan where he was in April, that's going to always, you know, trump anything else unless something else comes with a build like that.
Yeah, you know, I think it's in the same ballpark. I think, you know, it depends on who you ask, because if Kofi can close the deal, and he can win the WWE Championship, even though it won't be the main event of the night. I think that would do a lot of people's WrestleMania, regardless of whatever the main event happens.
Oh, man, yes. I'm sorry. The Eagles just traded for Jordan Howard. Yes. Perfect. I called that. I'm sorry.
We multitasking here on the Wrestling Marks of Excellence, ladies and gentlemen. We are definitely multitasking. But I think it's Daniel Bryan I think Kofi Kingston wins. I think that emotion people will have will be the same type of emotion people had at WrestleMania 30.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think okay, you know what? I don't wanna compare them because it's different lead up time, different story arc, different angle. I mean, the only similarity is the the underdog story, which is something that's very, very similar. But outside of that, I just think there are two totally different dynamics between the two of them. And ultimately, you want to have the same feel-good ending, but I don't know if we're going to get that on a Sunday. I feel something brewing here. Like I said, there's what I want to happen, what I think will happen, and what I feel will happen. What I want to happen is I want him to win. What I feel will happen is not him not winning or something not going right. That's just what I feel.
Okay, yeah. That leads to the next point that you brought up. If he does not win, will the stigma that the WWE is racist ever go away?
I don't think we'll know the answer to that until after Tuesday. Like I said, I'm not saying anything. I'm not going to weigh in. I mean, I'll just give a record of how things are progressing, but I won't have my verdict in until Tuesday at 10:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, you're talking about this coming Tuesday?
No. Tuesday after Mania.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Tuesday after WrestleMania. Wait, because let me see. What we got? One more SmackDown, right?
Yeah, one more SmackDown.
Yep.
One more SmackDown. Okay, yeah. So we got one more Raw, one more SmackDown. Then we have the weekend of events. And then we have the Raw after. And then we have the SmackDown after. Because also, there may be a situation where the brands may be merging. You know, as we see what's going on with the women's main event, Asuka, who I feel got shafted. I think she got shafted this entire year. I think she's been shafted since last WrestleMania, to be honest with you. Charlotte has a belt, Ronda has a belt, and then there's Becky in the middle. I think we might be heading towards a brand merger situation. So, there's a lot that can happen and will happen. So I really won't say anything until, like I said, that Tuesday.
Since you jumped there, we're going to stay right there. Charlotte Flair becomes the 8-time women's champion this past Tuesday night by defeating Asuka. Came out of left field, came out of nowhere. No one suspected it. No one called it. No one thought it was going to happen. But nonetheless, Charlotte Flair gets the win over Asuka. And then we look at social media. WWE superstars start saying, Asuka, you deserve better. Asuka, you're a great worker. Asuka, you are marvelous. You're good. You're this, that, you're the other. Asuka, bring back the clown from New Japan. Asuka, it's just so many things outpouring for Asuka. Reports come out that Asuka may be hurt. Your thoughts on Charlotte Flair winning? Did this match, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and Ronda Rousey, need the WWE Women's SmackDown title in it?
I gotta see. That question. I mean, I get your question, but that's a loaded question in the sense of, I mean, we gotta see where they're going with it. This isn't one of those questions that can be answered of, yeah, it needed it, or no, it didn't need it. Like, we got to see what the ultimate ending point is. Then we can assess, yeah, it probably didn't need it, or yeah, I guess it did. But I don't think that question can truly be answered until we see where they're going. I think it's still too early.
I think it did, because we mentioned it on the show. It was losing steam. Kofi Kingston's storyline has taken over. A couple other things have been getting built up a little bit better. Then the Ronda, Becky situation. This adds a little bit more steam to it. They had just been on ESPN early that morning. Now everybody talks about that match. Can we be honest and say that people have stopped talking about Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey's match?
You want to know what's funny? They were trending immediately after they were on First Take, right? Or just ESPN in general?
It was on ESPN in general.
They were trending for about maybe like 45 minutes, an hour or something like that. And then on my phone, Oscar started trending, like ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I just think that it got lost in the shuffle, to be honest with you. I really believe that in professional wrestling, there's no higher level of heat you can build outside of mano y mano unless it's a family feud like the Freebirds, you know, and the Von Erichs, or the Freebirds and the Road Warriors, or anything like that, the Horsemen and, you know, Road. Like, it has to be either a stable versus stable, family versus family, or mano y mano. When you have these triple threats, for whatever reason, it pulls away the steam. And this is not, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with the booking. I don't think it has anything to do with the talent. I just think that in human nature, like, you really get amped up when there's one-on-one, you know, because that's when the gauntlet is laid down and you find out, you know, how the hero is going to become the hero, what's going to make the heel the heel. And then this, it's too much going on, you know, and I just feel like that's one of the reasons, you know, the main reason why it's lost a little bit of steam, and the Kofi angle just shot up over it.
I think we all figured this one would be the main event of WrestleMania anyway. We should talk about this for months, that there was no men's match on the card that could be the main event until recently, until you saw the Kofi match. Is WWE, we know how WWE likes to make history, and so that's why I believe this one is the main event match of the show. They like to make history. You could talk about the Kofi match. I think that could be main event and could do it. But there wasn't change in this match from being the main event of the show with Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Ronda Rousey. I think adding the title to it just spices up just a little bit. And I agree with you, Corey. I think we do got to see where it goes with Charlotte Flair being a SmackDown champion. Do they merge it together?
Yeah, it gives. You're right. I'll give you that. It gives a shot in the arm to it. But I mean, to specifically answer your question of whether it was needed or not, we got to see where it goes. That's what I mean by that. Because, gotcha. Because, I mean, it's a shot in the arm. In that sense, like I said, I mean, it helps. I'll put it that way. It helps it because it gains interest. It's a good power play move. Whether it was needed, time will tell. But we got to see where it's going because you never know. This could end up being a situation where we win two titles. I mean, somebody wins two titles and then ends up being one champion the next night, you know? So,
we don't know yet. It's like you guys said, it gives you options, okay?
Yeah.
It gives WWE options. And I think that's what we as wrestling fans like. We like options. And I'm a big one to say, let's see how the storyline play out. Just wanted to see, you know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago about how this has lost steam. This just added steam to it. Let's get on Oscar real quick. How do you feel about Asuka? Now, we saw Asuka later on tonight, and it's been pointed out and talked about on social media. We're not feeling too much down, and she was excited that Kofi Kingston was able to get the WWE title shot. You saw her backstage hopping around and jumping. Where do they go with Asuka here? As Champ alluded to, she had been kind of, hitting hot and cold throughout this year after winning the Royal Rumble, losing at WrestleMania, winning the women's title, losing the disappearing, and then coming back up and losing the women's title again on SmackDown. Where did they go, Asuka? How can you build her back up?
I'll put it this way. That's why I think we got to see where the belt's going, the two belts situation is going. Because after WrestleMania, as y'all know, that reset button is hit quick to where, you know, people who you thought were completely out of, you know, of any kind of storyline or anything are all of a sudden like main event players or whatnot, you know. I mean, we could see a situation where like Shinsuke could be back in the title picture in no time. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We don't know.
What's the pay-per-view the month after Mania?
Is it
Backlash, isn't it?
Is it Backlash? Is it
okay,
that fast?
And,
I can look.
Because they're going to Saudi Arabia as well again. Okay. All right. And then after that, in June, is Money in the Bank, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. See, so piggybacking off what you said, we can see certain people inserted back into the title picture, but between Backlash, the trip to Saudi Arabia, and then coming back for Money in the Bank, I think the stories might be stretched out a little bit, because every time they get ready to go on a road trip, you notice how like the story arcs are kind of like, you know, a little bit convoluted. I mean,
let me correct something. Sorry. I was right, actually. Backlash is not the next show. It's the Saudi Arabia show that's next in May.
Okay. So the Saudi Arabia show, I think we'll see some carryover from India, obviously, stretch out the storylines. You won't see too many drastic changes because they got the Saudi show. I think everything will start to kind of like crystallize after that, and then the changes and lead up to Money in the Bank will kind of like take us to where we see what happens there. You got to remember, SmackDown will be coming on Fox in the fall. And one of the things that Fox wanted is they wanted the main stars on that show. They didn't want the B-tier, the B-level stars or anything like that, because they're shelling out so much cash. So from a booking standpoint, they have to kind of like gear everything towards this huge, you know, this huge event in September 2019. I think that's when it debuts. And then work it backwards from there. So you figure June and July, that's the summertime, that's kind of like a halfway point. So this actual WrestleMania is going to determine a lot in terms of who's going to get more TV time, who will be the primetime players, no pun intended, and what's going to happen with the belts and a potential brand merger.
I agree with some of that, how things are going to play out, how things are going to pan out here. Right now, currently on this WrestleMania card, it is 13 matches on this WrestleMania card, where one or two more could be added in the future. You don't have a women's battle royal as of yet, which could be added, may not have it. I'm leaning to them not having it.
I don't think they're having it either, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm leaning to them not having it because you have a lot of your women involved in matches, and we already named you got Bayley, Sasha, Beth Phoenix, Natalya, the iconic Nia Jax, Tamina. You got Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte. Just name those. Do you want to put your? I don't want to use the word B plus players, but do you want to put your other girls in a battle role, and whether they're winning?
Yeah, it's not looking good. Right now we're looking at the roster's already thin. And there's already 11 women booked on the card, so it's
right.
Like
for
what
Mania?
Do you have left? Yeah.
Yeah, you already have 11 women booked because you have a fatal four-way for the women's tag team titles, which that's 8 women, and then you got the 3 Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte in the Raw Women's Championship match. So that's 11.
I got a question. What time do doors open for this Mania?
Well, the pre-show starts at 5, so I would think doors probably open at 3:30, maybe 3.
Maybe 3. Yeah, it's always
Listen,
2 hours.
Bro, this might break a record in terms of the time that it's going to take, especially since it's an East Coast show. They can run a little longer. Yeah. You said 11 women booked. The women's chat, this is gonna run very, very long.
Time goes by fast.
No, Grant, you're trying to make the fans feel better.
Maybe I nod between a match or two, but it seems like it goes over.
That's where I was going. I was like, Glenn, I done sat next to you the last couple years. You'd be hurting
look.
By like hour two.
Let's be honest. We have early mornings. We up at 6 o'clock in the morning already at Access.
We go to Access, yeah.
You know, everybody
Wait, hold on.
Up at
you,
access.
You, you,
Wait,
you didn't go to the one in, was it Levi Stadium, right? Did any of you go to that one?
No.
All right, listen, Levi Stadium, yo, the show ran entirely too long, and it was hot. And I mean, it was blazing hot, like during the early portion of the day. So if you weren't like, you know, under the little the tent thing that they have around the ring, you were just sitting there baking. That was a very, very long show.
I'm gonna tell you this: it may not have been as long, but Miami was baking like that too, man.
Miami was blazing. We was tailgating. Miami was hot.
What was the temperature?
Miami was like 80, 90 degrees. I remember.
Yeah, it was like, it was about 90 degrees out there. It had to be. Because it was like 90 degrees. It was definitely at minimum 85. At minimum. It was hot that day. Very hot.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. Dallas, Texas
wasn't that cold either.
But it was indoor.
Yeah, but standing outside waiting to get in. Texas was
late. Yeah, true. It was pretty long. Like, I mean, yeah, it was.
27 Grace at Texas Stadium, where they let you go inside the stadium to go to the Superstore.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, so. Hey, real quick, WWE are marketing geniuses. Did y'all see what they got going on now, that you can order your stuff now and get it at MetLife Stadium? Go pick it up.
Man, where you been?
Where you been, Jasmine? Come on, G. Ganya. We already knew this. What are you talking about?
Well, you know I don't buy. Y'all know I don't buy stuff. I'm the guy who waits till after me and catch it on sale.
Listen, I'm a casual fan, and I know that.
Right.
Hey, hold on. That's probably the only thing that you got on me all year that I didn't know that you knew.
Like, come on, like, you've been with me when I purchased. I've talked about this, like, yo, I'm going to purchase this and pick it up at the arena.
Yeah, I saw the email today. I'm like, yo, this is the first time I ever saw this email. I don't know where I was at. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, listen, we obviously can tell when you have 20 jobs, you operate on very little sleep, G. We understand that. So we'll just chalk it up to that. Because that was pretty funny. But let's get back to the card, though, because
Roman Reigns. Let's get Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, real quick. Street fight. All right. Can you see Dean Ambrose? I just see Dean Ambrose getting involved here.
Wait a minute. Let's rewind back really quick.
Hold up.
Is Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre a street fight now?
From what was mentioned, yes.
I don't think it is, because are you going to have two street fights on the same card, pretty much? Because Miz and Shane is false count anywhere. Right. So are you going to do? That's just weird. I believe you. If they said that, then if that's what it is.
Official. I think they talked. I thought it wasn't made official, but I thought they talked about it. I didn't think it was a straight up match. From Dean Ambrose.
I think Roman and Drew will be a straight up match, because that's overload if you do Miz and Shane false count, in which very smart move making Miz and Shane false count anywhere, because I mean the storyline is there for Miz and Shane, it is, but I don't think you want to see Miz and Shane in a straight up match, just because I mean it's Shane can go, you know what I mean? But it's like, I think Shane's matches need that extra element if he ain't in there with an AJ Styles, pretty much. You know what I mean? And even then, I think him and AJ, I think, was not false count anywhere, but I think it was like no disqualification, you know? I mean, Shane's not an every, you know, night performer to where he can do straight up. I mean, he can. I'm not taking nothing away from him. But that element helps his matches, I think, that no disqualification element. It opens it up.
I think it does. It gives him a leeway to do extra things other than just wrestle. But Shane looks like he's be out of shape. All the sweating that he's been doing, he looks like he's out of shape, brother. He does. He looks like he's getting himself in shape for the rest of the match. But I think
I think Shane just, as weird as it sounds, I think Shane just sweats a lot. Shane's in really good shape. I know. Shane's in really good shape. Shane's good. He's fine. I think it's just, I think what that illusion of, because he doesn't wear, you know, the normal wrestling attire that would show off a physique for people. I mean, you know, it is weird. But I think Shane's in pretty good shape. I think he's fine.
Is this match a sleeper? Sleeper match of the night?
Not sleeper. I don't think, because I think sleeper implies that it's going to steal the show. It's going to end up stealing the show. It's not going to do
no,
that.
I mean, more surprising than people don't think.
No, because it's no disqualification. Miz and Shane will be good. The storyline, like I said, the storyline has been built up enough that you know it's going to be entertaining. I mean, if anything, because I'm looking at the card again now, I mean, the sleeper match that may end up being like a true, okay, this match is actually going to be really good. It's probably Joe and Ray, for real. Because I think that's a match everybody's forgetting about. And it's like...
They're not building it up like they're supposed to. I mean, Joe was fake just...
No, it built up a little bit. Because his son Dominic has kind of been introduced into the storyline. And from what I remember, wasn't Dominic at one point supposed to be training at the Performance Center? Or
Ray has been training him at home. From what I've...
Okay.
Last time Ray talked, Ray has been training Dominic himself.
So there you go, right? And that's crazy. Like, we're seeing Dominic. I'm like, I remember this little spurt just as a kid. Like, that's crazy. Like, him in the front row at SummerSlam in D.C., that was 14 years ago. And you got to figure, wow. he was about 8 or 9 years old then? Because, yeah, he's like a good 20, 22, 23 years old now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. He's the son of Rey Mysterio, but what's crazy is that he's gonna, realistically at his size, he's gonna buck the family tradition. He's not gonna be the high slot. Like, you may have the bloodline of Rey Mysterio out here muscling people around. You just never know, you know.
Right, and he may not wear a mask. No Mexican situation, you know. It may not be a luchador, like as you just mentioned.
He won't be. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Bobby Lashley, talk about that real quick. Bobby Lashley got his title match. Well, Finn Balor got a title match this weekend, this week, after defeating, who did he beat? God, dog, I'm sorry.
You talking about Finn Balor?
Yeah, who did he beat the other night? It defeated my mind. It just left my mind.
Finn Balor beat Bobby Lashley and Jinder Mahal in a handicap match.
Yeah, it was Jinder Mahal. God, dog. Which, he really fell far from grace. Boy. Anyway, Jinder Mahal to get face Bobby Lashley. Finn Balor gets his WrestleMania moment. I'm not in some of the matches, just looking at a card. He gets a WrestleMania moment. There's no way. No way he loses to Bobby Lashley. Hey, I'm going to ask you this, Wizard. I know you said.
Yeah, go ahead.
Stay away from dirt sheets and stuff like that. You know, Big E and Xavier Woods helped Kofi get the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will there be punishment? Do we see Big E and Kofi, do we see Big E and Xavier somehow getting punished for their behavior by Vince McMahon?
No.
Right now, they're not on the card.
They don't need to be. The Kofi storyline is enough that it incorporates new. That's the beauty of the New Day, is that they're not lost in the shuffle with Kofi being the only one with the match. Like, they are as fully involved in this storyline as Kofi is.
Yeah, they've
you
done
know
a
what
great
I mean?
Job of doing this.
Yeah, like there's nobody's feeling any kind of, oh dang, New Day is lost. Like, they don't have nothing. No. Kofi in this match is really New Day in this match, realistically.
Yeah,
I mean, it's definitely
yeah.
Kofi, But let's not get it twisted either. Like, New Day is just as involved as Kofi is. So as much as this is Kofi's moment, and it is, New Day has got a moment just like he does, realistically. Like, they're one of the few times in the history of the business, realistically, that as a unit, they are a true equal unit. Like, Kofi's getting the shot, but nobody's really outshining the other. Like, every group really has this guy is a standout. I mean, Triple H was the leader of DX, you know. Shawn Michaels was the leader of DX in the beginning. Like, you know, Triple H was the leader of Evolution. You know, Flair was the leader of the Horse. Like, really, if you think about it with New Day, it's like Kofi's the elder statesman of the group, but Kofi isn't portrayed as really the leader. Neither is Big E, neither is Xavier. They're really equal. They really are.
You know, that's a valid point, man, when you put it that way, because when you even go back to the Freebirds, Michael P.S. Hayes looked as the leader of the Freebirds.
Yeah, even then, you know?
Right, you don't have that clear-cut leader in the New Day, which would make it interesting. If Kofi wins, can you add a Freebird rule to the world title?
No. You know what? And I remember a couple of years ago, I entertained that with there being a Freebird rule if one of them won the Royal Rumble. But realistically, you know, no. This is Kofi's moment.
It is, if he wins. It definitely is his moment if he wins. And I think this WrestleMania, and I want you guys to say this. I've seen people talk about this and some other people. Superstar Billy Graham made a comment about it. That this WrestleMania really sucks. The card looks like it's bad. Your thoughts on the card? Just looking over the card, your thoughts on this card. What's on paper? Will this be a great WrestleMania?
Yeah. I'll put it this way. 32 heads. And while you're thinking about that, Champ Creed, I'll go at it with this. 32 had the potential to be really good, but a lot of people were hurt. Them not having Seth Rollins and John Cena, that hurt bad. That hurt that whole card very bad. So 33 realistically was the first real time. And remember, there was no kind of celebrity involvement. There was no, like, 33 was really good. That was the first time in a while from top to bottom. They had all of the talent on there. And it was a good WrestleMania. 34,
where was
33?
Orlando.
Yeah, were you there? You forgot?
Yeah. No. Don't try to pull me. I just asked for the location. I don't try to pull a fast one. I was there. I just remember them by the locations, not the numbers. Go ahead. You were saying about 34.
Yeah, I was just saying 34 was the same situation, was that these cards were really good from top to bottom and they delivered performance-wise, you know? Except for, okay, 34, my one gripe is the tag team title match. I really was like, I mean, with all of the build-up, that if anybody, they could have made Braun's partner. When they made Nicholas the partner, yeah, I was like, oh, come on. That really let me down. So,
yeah, that part did let me down. With Braun Strowman and the little boy.
Well, I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna go with, like, just looking at the 30. You know, WrestleMania 30 to on now. To me, WrestleMania 30 was the best in this particular. You know, I guess in this particular numerical
decade of
of mania, yeah, and that's the standard that I hold to it. So potentially it can be, but I don't just go by the card. You know what I mean? I go by the build up. I go by the venue, I go by the weather, I go by the time it takes to get in, I go by the seating, the layout, video, I go by everything. And 30, which is funny from 30 compared to last year, was that I almost sat in the same section, but the seats were that much more uncomfortable this year than they were, or last year, excuse me, than they were at 30. So that kind of took away from the experience. The people in my section were a little bit more musty than the usual WrestleMania. That's why I prefer. That's why I prefer.
People
got to
find time for showers, man.
I prefer outdoor WrestleManias than indoor WrestleManias because I don't like the smell of fans. And they were whooping. Oh, man. They smelled almost as bad as EC3's debut on Raw.
I knew it had to be somehow.
But I really think that the weather is going to be like 60 degrees during the day, which is cool. The lead up to the main event, which to me, if I had to go from top to bottom right now where I am, my main event is Kofi versus Daniel Bryan. Underneath that, I would have I'd have the women's match just because of the promotion that it's got them. Underneath that, I'd have Brock and Seth. And up until last week, I would have had AJ and Orton. But, like, I feel like it kind of – they needed to get more time to promote other matches. So if they come back to it this upcoming Tuesday, then I think it goes back up there because – they haven't really gotten a lot of time, but the time that they have gotten, the way that they've used it with those two, has been really, really entertaining, so to say. So to answer your question overall, can this potentially be the best within the decade, within the 30s? I don't know because 30 was just so good, man. Like,
here's a question on top of that. Right now, okay, best manias of their decade, 1 through 10. What was the best one?
Best ones 1 through 10.
Hogan
for me was 3.
Warrior.
G-Lo said 3, and you said 6.
Yeah, just because of those two, man. Like, bro. I was, that one was it for me at that stage.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say 6 as well, to be honest. I'm going to say 6 as well. I almost said 4, but 4 is so drawn out with the tournament. Even though the ending result of the tournament is great, it's like 4 is like, and 5 is pretty good, too. Actually, I would put 5 under 6. Or actually, you know what? I would put 5 under 3. I'm sorry. I would go 6, 3, and then 5. To be honest.
I'm gonna tell you why I say 3 because I, you know, growing up I was a big Hulk Hogan fan and like Hulk Hogan and Andre to me was the biggest match that ever, and just because of the age I was at, you know, Hulk Hogan and Andre they built it up to that point, and then when you watch it over and over again you see like, you know what, it is a lot of people here and they all here to see Hulk Hogan and Andre.
That's why the build up to it. Well, of course. I mean, WrestleMania 3, you being a 22-year-old man at the time, I could understand that being the biggest match of your life.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Don't forget, we was in college together.
No, but y'all back to your point. I can see that. So, all right, level it out, Wiz, because you're the one asking the questions here.
Well, like I said, I'm going with 6. I am going with 6.
Yeah, I'm going with 6.
6 is the best one. Okay. So, okay, 11 through 20 then. If you say anything other than 17, I don't count y'all opinion.
Was that Hogan and Rock or Shawn and
That's 18. That's 18.
Yeah, Hogan and Rock was 18. 17 was the best.
Which one was 17? That was Shawn and Stone Cold, right?
No, 17 is Rock and Austin too.
Rock and Austin, yeah.
In Houston.
What was the rest of the card?
Triple H, Undertaker, Jericho, Regal, Shane and Vince, the street fight when Shane went coast to coast the first time. when Linda rose up out of the chair.
All right, which one was Shawn and Austin?
That's 14. 14 was really, 14 was groundbreaking in the sense of it. That's really the first attitude. I don't count 13 as it. Really, 14 was the first attitude era of WrestleMania. And
right.
That one was really good.
You gotta remember,
Kane was really good.
But you also got to remember, Champ, 17 was also the Hardys, if I'm not mistaken. Hardys.
TLC.
Also
yeah, TLC too.
Edge Christian.
All right, so it's a tie between, well, for me, 14 and 18 are tied. 14 was the whole thing with Mike Tyson, with Shawn,
yeah.
Gritting.
See, that's why
like,
I
know
Champ's perspective. Mm-hmm.
Knowing how much pain that Shawn Michaels was in,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And for him to give a perfect match, that
yeah.
match was perfect. Like,
yeah.
when people talk about, like, the GOAT, whatever, you know, there are different analytics that I go by.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And one of those things that stand out to me with Shawn was that, okay, The Rock got hurt in his match versus Cena, and he got
mm-hmm.
through it, right? Shawn
mm-hmm.
was hurt in his match versus Austin, and he got through it. But what Shawn was doing, the degree of difficulty
yeah.
of his maneuvers, his moveset and execution, and made Austin look like you wouldn't even think that Austin was hurt, because Austin was hurt too, you know,
yeah.
in that one.
But
Shawn
had a broken back, man. And that's not,
yeah,
that's not nobody, that's not nobody, you know, fighting it. Or, no, he legitimately had a broken back. And
yeah.
he fought through the match enough to make sure. And here's the thing why it was perfect, just to also add to what Champ Creed is saying, is that Shawn did it to make sure Austin looked like a
yes.
million bucks after,
yes.
afterwards. Like, if Shawn had given any other haphazard performance, Austin's title reign wouldn't have looked as good. Like, him
mm-hmm.
starting off beating Shawn, and Shawn, this is Shawn, you know, I'll make a reference to the video games. This is like 96 rating Shawn. Like, Shawn was at the peak.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like
power.
Shawn Michaels was the man at this point. That's not just me saying it because he's my favorite. Like Shawn, Shawn was undefeatable at that time. Like
yeah,
for real.
He was at
like,
the peak of his powers in all
yeah.
in all sectors of the game.
Yep, in all of them. And you weren't beating him. You just weren't. And for Austin to do that, and like you said, Shawn pretty much gave a perfect match from beginning
yeah.
to end. However, 17, though, here, 17 is often regarded in a lot of circles as the best WrestleMania ever.
17
That's
was
why.
Nuts. I mean, you got we can't forget, and we're not WWE, so we can say his name, Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle.
Yep, Benoit and Angle. The hardcore match with Kane and Big Show and Raven. And testing Eddie Guerrero, China and
yeah.
Ivory. That's why I think, you know what? That's why I think people hold 17 in such high regard. Because that year, if you think about it, nobody was hurt. They got everybody on the card. Everybody that was active pretty much at that time was on the card. Nobody was hurt. They had no injuries at that time. Nobody was out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say the WrestleMania 18, to me, the icon versus icon situation.
Yeah.
Now,
that's a good
now,
WrestleMania. They should have main evented, but I get it.
Yeah, yeah. And Jericho said he was mad because he was like, how can you come on after that? You know what I mean? Which is true.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What did you have? Okay, I'm looking. You had Too Cool versus Lance Storm, Mr. Perfect Contest, Rob Van Dam, William Regal, DDP, Christian, Maven, and Goldust versus the Dudleys.
Maven set that thing to be back.
And the 18 had the greatest storyline going into a match ever. with Edge versus Booker T over the shampoo commercials.
Oh, yeah. Billy and Chuck defeated APA. Listen,
APA
man,
Hardy.
I'm about star power, and I'm going to tell you this. The reason why I got to throw 18 in there with 14, whatever, is because the same reason for that I said WrestleMania 6, is because, one, they took place in the same venue, right?
Right.
And to have the performer, Hulk Hogan, do what he had to do with the Ultimate Warrior to get this guy over, to pass the baton, to get the crowd like he got them at 6, and then you're asking the same man who is weathered, beaten down, and broken to do the same thing 12 years later for the next guy. Oh, my God. And then to get the same – and the reaction was unexpected.
Oh, yeah. Yes and no. And I'm going to give you why it wasn't unexpected in a sense. Because Hogan had been gone for so long.
Right, because he was NWO Hogan.
Well, not even NWO Hogan. Hogan had just been gone from WWE for so long that they were kind of like, okay. Like, he had already been gone almost 10 years by that point. So, it was 9 years come that, pretty much. So it was like, okay, fans, and you know those, here's the thing, those international fans at WrestleMania, and this is Hogan, a lot of those fans, those international fans, had never even seen Hogan.
They hadn't seen him since the last time they seen him.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm saying, is that WWE is really the only one that was touring Europe, not WCW. WCW was in Japan all the time, but that European we've all been to WrestleMania enough to know that European crowd is pretty much what makes up that foreign crowd that comes to WrestleMania.
Yeah,
I mean,
you had that French crowd, you had the Canadian crowd, you had the English crowd, all in Canada and Toronto.
Yeah, like, so realistically, they ain't seen Hogan at all. They ain't seen him. So, and a lot of those people at that time also, the younger crowd, not necessarily the older, but the younger crowd at that point, Hogan was their guy at that point. So, yeah, there you go. I mean, Hogan, those people didn't die away from Hogan.
Yeah.
The Hogan was still their guy.
But I don't think that they expected.
But they didn't.
The
but
one,
I'm going to give you that. Absolutely.
They didn't expect the number one face. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They didn't expect the number one face to get booed. You know
right.
what I mean? Like that just doesn't happen unless there was something. You know, what they tried to do when they had Austin delivering the chair shots at the end of that Mania that you talk about, like
with
Texas.
Yeah.
That's what they tried to do inorganically, and this one was an organic switch in the middle of the match. And you don't have that too many times. So to have the same guy in the same building 12 years later, beaten down, broken down, battle tested, whatever you want to say, and then to have it shift in that manner, and then for him, bro, like, yeah, man. I can't. After I saw that, I was good. I didn't need to watch anything else for a while. So when you asked me what was the best one in the 20s, which we should move on to, Benoit and Guerrero embraced at the end of it?
Actually, that's the thing. That falls in the decade before. That falls in 11 to 20.
Yeah.
Which one? Which number
was that?
20.
That was 20.
That was that 20.
Ooh.
That was 20.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, that one was 20. 20. And 20 also was return of Triple H.
No,
yeah.
It wasn't. After the quad?
No, Cena.
No.
Cena was 20. It was Cena.
No.
Was
20. No, Taker was 20.
No, who returned to New York at 20? Okay, Taker returned. That's why you're the Wizard.
All right. All right. So what show, so what do you guys say was 20 through 29? I guess if that's what we're going to do.
21 through 30, technically.
What, 21, or 21.
21 through 30 has to be 30.
Yeah.
21
through
30
is
30.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's 30 by a slim margin, but 24 is daggone up there, yo.
That was on my
list. Which one was that?
Ric Flair retirement.
24 is Floyd.
Floyd, Shawn Michaels.
I didn't see that
Edge and Undertaker. Am I right? I must be right. He's not correcting me, so I must be right. I'm coming off the head here.
Edge and Taker, Shawn and Flair, Cena, Orton, and Triple H, which actually I watched that back. That match is a lot better. You know what hurts that WrestleMania? The technical difficulties in the middle. That kind of hurts it because even though it conveniently went off through in the Divas match, it went off also during Hunter and Cena and Orton. And that match was really good. Now, looking back at it, it's crazy how big Orton is because that match, you would think that him winning that match, going into WrestleMania and successfully defending the WWE Championship, it doesn't even get talked about.
No, it doesn't.
You know what I mean? It doesn't even get talked. Like Orton beat Cena and Triple H, and it doesn't even. It's not even a blip on his career. You know what I mean? Not saying it's not a significant, but you know what I mean. It's like.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about that when they're like, oh, Randy Orton did this, this, and this. Nobody really, I mean, it gets mentioned, but it gets mentioned much later past other things.
Hey, I tell you one thing about 24, and I've always said it, WWE helped coin the phrase Money Mayweather.
Yeah, that was him.
That
was him and Vince. That was Vince.
Yeah.
Because he took that bad boy and ran it, because he was Pretty Boy Floyd. That Money Mayweather, when JR said it, it stuck.
Yeah, they had, by the time, in his entrance, they had been calling him Money. It just wasn't as widespread yet. I'll give you that. But he had been being called Floyd Money Mayweather by then. Now, I do think WWE helped that, though. Absolutely. It's, 24 is really good, though. But, I'd give that nod to 30. 30 is like...
30, had,
Daniel
the,
Bryan,
30 had the moment. 30 had the moment, though.
Yeah, 30 had the moment. I mean, but I'll tell you this, in that 10-year stretch between 21 and 30, we did get the greatest WrestleMania match ever, though. So, you know what I mean?
26? With,
25. Shawn and Taker.
25. Yes.
Shawn and Taker won, and that's me saying it. Shawn and Taker won is the greatest WrestleMania match ever.
Yeah, that match was crazy.
Yeah,
man.
that match to supplant because behind that, and not even being biased, Shawn and Bret Iron Man was the greatest WrestleMania match up until that.
Yeah, but 25 had you on the roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's another situation. That's another situation, guys, where a match that should have main evented didn't. Because, I know the story. I know the story of I know the story of Hunter and Orton was huge, and it was. Because Orton kicking McMahon and taking out all of the McMahons, that was big because that was the first time they were really starting to truly acknowledge Hunter and Stephanie as being married.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big deal. It was. And that storyline was done very well, but to end up following Taker and Shawn, you were like, oof. Because I'll tell you this, I was done. I could have went home after that. I could have went back to the hotel after that. I was done. Like, I was done. Like,
but you get exhausted after
few
that
times.
Watching it, you get exhausted because you're emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but as it was happening live, that's one of the few times I can ever remember being physically exhausted after a wrestling match, like in a good way. That one did it. Shawn and Taker chewed it, though, because I knew what was coming. Like, I knew Shawn was losing. That wasn't even, Lesnar and Taker, when the streak got broken, just because, the ending really took it out of you. But, Brian winning is also up there, too. But, Taker and Triple H in the cell. That was exhausting. And the reason why?
Yeah.
Because when Shawn hit that sweet chin music into that pedigree, I thought it was done. I thought the streak was over then.
Yeah, but
you know what
I mean? You know what's funny?
I did too. You know what's funny about go back to the Taker and Shawn match? No one remembers the match after that. Do you remember it?
The match that
and it wasn't a bad match. After Shawn Taker and Shawn won. Do you remember the match after that? It wasn't a bad match.
I want to say, is that the triple threat for the Royal Heavyweight Championship?
Yep.
It wasn't bad,
but people just put you just so caught up in Shawn and Shawn.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Taker
you were done after that. No, seriously.
You didn't want to. Yeah, you didn't want to. You didn't worry. I went back and had to watch Cena, Big Show, and Edge because I couldn't remember.
Well, you know what else was good, too? And Champ, you were there for this. It's technically number two, but I guess in the rehashing of the series, Triple H Taker 1-ish.
Yeah, those were good, too. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Triple H Taker. It's the first one. The second one in the cell was good, too, but it's not better than the first one. That first, because, hey, listen, because Glenn, you were sitting there. Yo,
yeah.
When Hunter hit Taker with that tombstone, I thought it was over. I thought that was
I did too.
Everybody thought it was over. Our whole section gasped.
Yeah,
That was
27. That match single-handedly saved that WrestleMania because everything else on that show was good garbage.
You know what? I just thought about something. And I'm not trying to be sentimental. Mm-hmm. This is my first Mania. I'm not going to sit beside you.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's okay. You got the family. It's okay. We'll be right back at it next year.
I got the family. We'll continue next year. I got the family going this year. But this, I just thought about it. This is the first Mania. Once you said it, like, y'all was sitting beside you, I'm like, dang. This will be the first Mania I want to sit beside Corey. But anyway.
Ebony and ivory sit together in perfect harmony.
Next to the wife, man. I'm sitting next to the wife this year. I hope she don't get the WrestleMania bug and want to go every year. But
look, no, not even that. Glenn ain't gonna see half the show between three kids going to get food.
Oh no! We already had that discussion, brother. We already had that discussion. We already had that discussion.
We got to hear the cliff notes of that. What's the cliff notes of that discussion? We got to hear that.
Oh, you get everything before we get in. Once we get in, you get something between that, or when the Baron Corbin and Kurt Angle match come on, then we can go get something to eat.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, that's so funny because at Mania, that's so funny that I'll just get food before and I never get up.
Yeah, never get up. No.
I don't move. I never get up. I never go to the bathroom. I never do anything.
I can tell you the times I got up. I got up between Brodus Clay's that whole mama segment.
Oh, that was I
got up because I didn't want to. I just couldn't take that.
Yo.
I just couldn't take that. But other than that, I just sit there. The whole that one was when I got up. Cause I just
that was so bad, yo. Oh, that was so bad.
My wife, can you sit there for 8 hours? Yes, I can. And don't move.
Wow. Yeah, I know. So what will be the best? So are we definitely going to say that Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin is the go to the bathroom match?
Unless they change something, that's it.
Unless they change it,
Which is bad for Kurt. That's really, really bad for them. They got to do something. I'm sorry. They got to do something about this. I'm pretty sure, you know, sometimes you get locked into the fortress and you're talking into a silo or echo chamber or whatever, and you really don't take they really don't take too much influence from outside the walls of the writer's room, whatever, but they gotta take a cue and listen to what the fans want. And this would be like, this would be a very poor send off for one of the most storied performers in the game.
But they're down to the ninth hour, the last hour. The only person that you can really replace that with now is Cena, because you figure AJ Styles has a match, Samoa Joe has a match. Who are you going to replace that with?
Cena or Taker.
Yeah, Cena or Taker.
That's really it. That's really the only thing I can see is Angle squashing Corbin and then Taker comes out or Cena comes out. That's the only thing I can see happening is that Corbin gets squashed, which I think should happen. I think Kurt should go right through that.
Question. I got another one, but do they do this?
Question.
Do they bring Jeff Jarrett?
No.
Oh, man. Ouch.
Woo! That might be the best one you pulled all year, brother. I was gonna ask, is Jason Jordan healthy?
No. You know what? That's been kept really under wraps. I don't think he is. But that's been kept really, because I haven't heard anything about him in a while. Last thing I heard, I know he was producing backstage.
Yep, that's the last thing we've heard, that he's been producing backstage. That would be a good surprise.
Would be a great surprise if that end up being pulled off.
Yeah, that would be a good one. But I said Jeff Jarrett because he's back in the company now. We know that Jeff is married to Kurt's ex-wife. You know, they pretty got a good decent relationship. I mean, you remember back to stuff in TNA. They worked with each other while Jeff was, you know, hooked up with his wife.
But you know what? I think they would need more build up for that, because some fans wouldn't get it. I don't think a lot of people would get it. They would need to do more build up for that. But I'm cool with it, like you said, either John or Mean Mark.
Yep.
You know, either way, that'll work for me.
That's crazy. Now, question, guys, do you think this is the first Mania in a while that we voluntarily don't feature the Undertaker? As in, Undertaker isn't hurt or injured to where he's physically not able to perform? Is this the first year we just don't have Undertaker on the card just because?
I'm going to say no, because I think because of the AEW situation, they can put him on the card somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I think somehow he goes, not to wrestle, but he comes on the card somehow.
No, I don't think you put Taker on Mania and without him wrestling. Not unless he's truly done.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And then I have Taker come out there to talk. Nah.
But then I agree with you. This be the first Mania in a while that he will have Taker when he's not hurt or anything like that. He won't be on. He won't be on the card.
Is Shawn available?
Shawn's been saying like he's truly done. Like honestly, only reason why I think he even came out of retirement for that Saudi Arabia is literally
money.
I think Shawn got 8 figures for that match. I wouldn't even be surprised. I'm convinced Shawn got more than $10 million for that match. Head to it.
Yeah, that was a good payday.
Because for that match, there's no reason he should have came out of retirement for that.
Because he was one of the Prince's favorites, basically.
Yeah. So
I can see him just saying, "How much will it take?"
Open checkbook. Like, here you go.
And just told him, wife gave him a number. They took about 15 numbers and threw them in the air, and whatever one landed face up was the one he picked.
Yeah.
You know? But I see that. But I think this Mania is going to be a good one, because there have been rumors that people saying they're not going to, like that we mentioned going into the segment, that this one's not going to be good. I think this match is going to be one that people are going to be this Mania is going to be one people going to be talking about for a long time.
I do, too. I do, too. Just by the women's main event alone.
Right. And I like the fact they're doing it without – I mean, they can do it without the SNN, the Saturday Night Live guys. But think about it, the last couple of WrestleManias haven't had major television personalities.
No, they haven't, and it hasn't been needed, you know.
Yeah.
And with the women main eventing, don't be surprised if you know you have Charlotte out there as women's champion, Becky out there as Raw women's champion, and Bayley and Sasha out there as the tag champions to start this four horsewomen thing going.
Especially if Shayna Baszler loses on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Who is she facing?
I definitely.
She's facing
Bianca Belair.
Kairi Sane, and Io Shirai.
Yep, Io Shirai.
Oh wow, I like Bianca and Kairi. But question: they want the fans to go home happy. That's always what you want. But the fans ain't gonna go
is
home
it?
Happy if you look. I mean, for the most part. For the most part,
that's what I wanted you to say. For the most part,
you know, yeah, for the most part, the way they book it for the fans to go home.
Not
every time, but most of the time. But if you look at those three,
I was just gonna say last year, Brock winning over Roman, even though Roman is Roman, it was more so like, Brock still won.
Yeah, which goes to what we're saying, what I'm about to say now, in those three main events. That's going to be tough to book because if Brock wins again, a segment of the crowd, not that they'll be pissed, but they'll be disenchanted and be ho-hum, whatever.
That goes on before Kofi and Bryan. Kofi and Bryan. Yeah.
Is that how they booked it? Is that how they booked it?
I mean, they haven't announced that yet, obviously, but I think that's how it's gonna go. I think Kofi is your feel good moment to where if Brock beats Seth, which honestly now I think Brock's gonna beat Seth because that one's kind of losing steam too. It never really had a lot of steam. But once Roman came back, it was really like, Seth's not winning this, so. I think you go Seth losing, Kofi winning, and then bring it all back down again. And it could go – the women's match could go either way.
All right, how you got it going, G?
Kofi's a sandwich between Brock and Seth Rollins. I mean, I do say that. I do say that much because they're going to have a feel-good moment. And then I see Becky Lynch. I see – actually, right now, I see Ronda winning.
Yeah, I do too. It's weird. It's really weird.
Right now, it's
it?
Weird. I see Ronda winning.
I wonder what's the parlay. I think you might want a better parlay on this, man. But even if you did, it would be so difficult because I see same thing. I see Brock winning, right? I see Ronda winning, but I don't see Ronda and Brock both losing. One of the two of them are gonna win because it's big money, whatever, right? That they paid him for.
I think it's
you
Brock.
Know, so even if it's Brock, I got Becky winning. But then if Brock and Becky win, I don't see Kofi winning. Like, I just see these last three matches, I don't see the same sequence of winners. Maybe that's what we'll do. We'll do a prediction and see what holds.
Right. Because I don't see all your champions changing. So if I had to pick one champion to stay, it would probably be Ronda, but depends on Ronda staying or not. And I want Becky to have that moment. That's the thing. I'm torn because I want Becky to have that moment. Or the storyline that was built up since SummerSlam, it was for nothing. You know?
Right.
I didn't say for nothing, but you want that moment. You want that Becky Lynch to have her moment that's there. Yeah, before we get out here, we got to talk about something else real quick on another line. Hart Foundation going into the Hall of Fame.
I'm all for it.
You know,
I'm for it.
Yeah, I'm definitely for it. I think Jim Neville Neidhart needs to be in. I think the Hart Foundation needs to be in. Is this the first time that two tag teams gone in the same year?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah. We've never had it where there's been two tag teams.
And once again, you get no celebrity. Unless they announce a celebrity on Monday, there's no celebrity Hall of Fame. Famer.
This year. No, it's not. Did we have one last year? No, right?
No. Nope. The celebrity wing might be closed.
Okay. Yes, we didn't have one last year.
Did not. I think the last one, if I'm not mistaken, was it Snoop?
We did have one last year.
Kid Rock.
Yeah.
Yep, forgot about him.
Kid Rock. Did we have one in Florida? I don't remember.
No. Florida was one I think you didn't have one.
Huh.
I guess every other year you get a Hall of Famer. I mean, Entertainment Hall of Famer. But, fellas, hey, it has been fun, man. We talked a lot of wrestling tonight. A lot of wrestling.
Yeah, sure did.
We did. A lot of theories going to WrestleMania. That's why I love WrestleMania season. And we didn't talk about AEW because it's WrestleMania season.
Yeah.
We'll talk about them the week after Mania.
But there is one match on a Super G card that I would like to go see if I was going to that show, and that's the Gorillas of Destiny taking on the Briscoes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's the only match on that card that I. That's the only match on that card, but nonetheless. I know. Definitely know where you'd be at. Definitely know where you'd be at. Hey, Wizard, take us home.
If you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of story, ladies and gentlemen. Good night. Catch you next week.